And not because of what I've done or anything else, but because of the Holy Ghost working in us and doing things in us. Amen. You know, the amazing thing is, when we think about Jesus here, you know, Matthew 1:23 says the whole, that is God with us, Emmanuel. Do you realize Jesus was not the typical human being? Jesus, the Holy Spirit, supernaturally impregnated Mary. It was a virgin birth. Jesus, from day one, was supernatural. We're all supernatural beings. We're all spirit beings. But Jesus was amazing. There is nothing and no one else like Jesus, obviously never will be, except for us when we're born again. We are sons and daughters. We are, you can say, brothers and sisters of Jesus. You know, mankind often thinks about, why do we need God? You know, the whole world thinks about, why do we need God? You know, my life is fine. I've got my needs met. You know, I've got a nice home, family, everything's doing well. And that's the smokescreen of the world, is just to kind of give us a delusion. And that's the whole key of the enemy, is to get you so complacent in your life that you don't pay attention to things. People will spend more time on their vacation plans than they do eternity. People will spend more time with their investment portfolio than they will in eternity. You know, they're more focused on their retirement, which is a good thing. You know, we need to plan these things. I'm not saying you don't. But nobody has any idea what's going to happen when they die. I was listening to Sid Roth. I was laughing the other day. I thought, you know, I used to listen to David Lee Roth. Now I listen to Sid Roth. Different Roth, different message, right? But, you know, he's Jewish. Well, they both are Jewish. But, you know, Sid Roth is Jewish. And he says, you know, we never talked about the afterlife. Nobody ever talked about those things. You know, we didn't talk about what happened when you. And I thought, you know, that's so sad. We got a whole group of people out there that don't plan anything, never talk about the afterlife, which is the most important thing. Because you think about it, I mean, what, we on the earth here, you know, 70, 80, 100 years, however long that, you know, you live, and then we're gone. It's a flash in the pan. Flash in the pan. What kind of purpose do we have? Well, it was the purpose of Jesus. Is there a God? Well, God saw our situation, that we were in crisis. Mankind was in crisis. Again, we sit at home on a comfy couch. We don't think that things are a crisis. But when Adam sinned, God, you know, Adam tried to cover himself up with leaves, but God gave him an animal sacrifice, which was, you know, gave him clothes, animal skins, which will last a whole lot longer. That was the first sacrifice. That was the first animal sacrifice. Now, obviously, wasn't going to take care of the job. Someone had to come along, which was Jesus, who was going to come later. Let's look at Isaiah 52, verse 2. This is New Living Translation. And it says, "My servant, grow up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance," talking about Jesus now, "nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised. We didn't care." We can imagine Jesus went to the cross. He paid the price for us, for people and in a world that hated him, despised him. We wouldn't even like to go to a restaurant that has bad service, you know. We're like, oh, we're out of here. You know, listen, we're not sticking around here, you know. And Jesus went and died on the cross for us. I've been in churches before where people are like, well, I'm not going back to that church because Sister so-and-so looked at me all weird and then I got all mad and I'm like, I'm not going to stay there anymore. Whoa, that's persecution, you know? We're fickle about things. But God endured all of that. Verse 4. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shears, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in mainstream. Do you realize this is several hundred years before Jesus was even born? This is written. It's amazing. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong. He had never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and to cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous. For he will bear all their sins. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. Wow. Wow. Interesting here enough, verse 3, he was despised and rejected. How many of you would press on if you were despised and rejected? Right? I remember one time I was I'm out, you know, open doors for ladies and older ladies and help them out and everything. And this lady I was in front of there, opened the door for her. I can open the door myself. Okay, I dropped it. All right, thunk. So I haven't always been really good in that area sometimes. You know, you try to help people and they don't want your help. You know, got kids. Let me help you with that. I can do it. Let me do it. But Jesus pressed through because he knew we needed help. We didn't know how to fix our problems, did we? Verse 4, Jesus was brutally punished by God. By God. He was crushed. Verse 5, he was tortured for our healing. He was tortured for our healing. You know, it's sad. So many people out there don't believe that God is in the healing business anymore. And so now Jesus' torture, his pain that he went through is for nothing. I mean, I get upset when I go to a restaurant and pay for my girls to eat food and they don't eat it, right? You know, I paid for that. Why are you not eating it? What is the deal with you, kid? Hello? I spent good money on it. All right, I'll take it home. I'll eat it. All right, just put it on my plate. I'll eat it, I guess. I'll have to eat it all. Right? I imagine that's probably what God's feeling right now. What are you doing? I paid for this. You're not taking advantage of it. Hello? Verse 6, he quietly went to his own slaughter. Do you realize on that day, if you go back, we don't have time today, this morning, but that account from the time that Jesus was in with his disciples at the Last Supper all the way until he stood before the Sanhedrin, until he went before and was actually crucified on the cross, he was completely focused. He would actually kind of irritated Herod because he wouldn't answer him. He just wouldn't say anything. Jesus could have got out of it, by the way. Right? But he didn't. He didn't choose to do it. He kept his mouth shut. Why? Because of the assignment he had to do. Verse 7, he took the sins of man and interceded for us. He took our sin and our shame. You know, it's amazing. I had a friend of mine. He was he's an evangelist. He was part of the Hell's Angels. He came and one time our town, and I got to know him. His name is Jerry McGee. And he's a Hell's Angel going to prison. And we talked. Standing before a judge. Judge is retiring. It was his last day. The judge is retiring. And Jerry is his last case. And the judge said, the guy's going to prison, okay? He's going to prison. And Jerry said, God, if you get me out of this, I'll serve you. I'll do whatever you call me to do. I'll do it, okay? I'm sorry. The judge said, I'm retiring today. You're my last case. All charges dropped. Go home. Mercy. That's the way with God is, you know? We're supposed to go to prison. We did this horrible crime. We did it. And God came and says, no, Jesus already paid for it. You're done. You don't have to do it. You don't have to pay for that anymore. But you know how many people out there now that have not accepted just that simple little accepted him, accepted his payment? Romans 5, 15 through 19. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God. That's awesome. Even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one person obeyed God, many will be righteous. You ever had that before too, where you go to the store? Okay, I'll talk about food. So you got to eat afterwards, you know, and things. And you ever asked that question, can anybody get anything right? I don't know what it is, but it's like Adrian's food, it just gets screwed up. It's not a bad confession, it just happens, right? We'll go somewhere, and sometimes you just go, can anybody get stuff right? Guess what? God got it right. We live in a world of chaos, a world of sin, a world of dysfunction, family problems, addictions, you know, financial issues, everything that's going on. In the midst of the storm, There is one resounding voice. There is one solid, stable being, and that is Jesus. He got it right. Romans 8:29. For God knew his people in advance, for he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. Do you know God is calling you today? He's calling you to be his people. He's calling us to be his people. Jesus called us to be like him. Do you know how many people I've talked to, witnessed to over the years and everything else, and they kept saying things like, well, I'm just not worthy to be, you know, I'm not good enough to be God. Well, that's the point. Hello? We watched that movie Breakthrough. I'm not going to give a spoiler alert, so you have to go watch it yourself. Saw that new movie Breakthrough, a little boy falls through the ice and everything else too, and the pastor's sitting there, it's really funny. And it just kind of made me think of some things. And the mom is sitting there. She doesn't like the pastor. Anyway, there's some other things going on. And she says, you know what? He walks in the room there. And he just found out the news. And he's wanting to be with her. And the pastor's there to be with the family. And she says, you know what? This just isn't a good time. He goes, yeah, that's why I'm here. Hello? Yeah, things are screwed up. That's why I'm here. Jesus is saying that too. Yeah, this isn't a good time. That's why I'm here. Duh. What, do you think it's real heroic of us to invite Jesus in our life when we got everything fixed? Jesus is like, I'm here to help. I remember, you know, I used to coach the girls. They're a t-ball team, you know, and little people kind of have a mind of their own sometimes. I say, okay, here's the ball, this and that. Okay, here, hold the bat like this. I know, Dad, I know. Right? You know, okay, you got to swing like this. I know, Dad, let me do it, let me do it, let me show you. You don't know what you're doing, right? Okay, swing it. Okay, we missed it. Okay, try this. No, I know how to do it, I know how to do it, I know how to do it, you know. That's what the world's like. And Jesus is sitting there saying, you don't know. I'm here to help you. I can do it. I can do it. How many people I've witnessed, talked to over the years, oh, I just don't feel worthy. Of course you're not worthy. That's the point. It's like scrubbing your car to go to the car wash. No, you go to the car wash to get it clean. Hebrews 12:1-4. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. You know what? Jesus here is helping us to streamline some things in our lives, to get rid of the sin, to take the weights off. I used to run track. You know, and the last thing you want to do is have a backpack. The last thing you want to do is have more weight. The last thing you want to do is have, I want to wear it was Levi's jeans on, right? It's restrictive. Jesus is sitting there saying, I want to get rid of this stuff for you. Well, how does he do that? Trust in him. Roll your cares off on him, for he cares for you. No, if you're carrying all of your load and all of your cares and all of your sin and shame and all of your regrets, you're not going to go very far with him, and you're not going to go very far in life. But if you roll it off on him, and he's like, I'm ready to take care of it for you. I want to help you out. I died to take care of all this for you. I came to help you to have life more abundantly. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. He saw us as more important than the shame of being on the cross. You know, we just think, oh, he was tortured, he was beaten. He was not only being tortured and beaten, but he's being mocked. The Roman soldiers mocked him. The religious crowd mocked him. Oh, well, gee, Jesus, you can save everybody else. Why don't you save yourself? Why you heal all these other people? You can't even take care of yourself. Right? Oh, Jesus said you're going to build the temple back in 3 days. What happened in here? Doesn't look so good, does it? Well, he's referring to his temple. His body in 3 days is going to be brought back from the dead. But he saw us. We were joy. He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. I like this, verse 3. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you've not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. You know, we always think life's hard. You know, sometimes it's hard. Oh, it's really hard. I saw this really cool picture. Have you ever seen, what's the Mel Gibson movie, Passion of the Christ? And you'll see the guy that played Jesus there, and he's got all bloody, you know, he's all, you know, sitting there, and they're like in like a couple of chairs and everything. And Mel Gibson's sitting there, like, talking to him, you know, with Jesus. And the caption, it says, "And you think your life is hard." It's pretty powerful. Here's Jesus, completely, you know, drenched in blood, sitting there while you know, Mel Gibson's talking to him. So, you know, when Adam, really, think about it, when Adam sinned, you know, we think of sin, oh, you know, oh, that's awful. No, when we sin, we just cut ourselves from the power source, guys. And we were separated from the power source, which was God. And Jesus came to redeem us, to plug us back into that power source, which is God, living in us. You know, the world doesn't see it. When we get in a car, our car won't start. What's wrong? Typically, one of the problems is the power source. We don't have any power. Yet we got people all over the world going, oh, well, they know what's wrong with it. Oh, there's no gas in it. Well, there's no this. There's no that. No, we don't have power. Jesus is the connector to the power. Jesus connects us with power again. Jesus connects us and grounds us to the Father. Acts 5, 34 through 42, we're not going to read this, but I like this. Because of the preaching of Jesus, Gamaliel noticed something. Now, here we do, we have, let me just give a little scenario here. We've got one of the religious folks there, and all these religious folks are coming together. Jesus already died. The disciples are going everywhere, spreading the good news about Jesus. And then they're sitting there. And he says, you know what? If this thing's real, it's going to happen, okay? God, we just don't need to fight against God. But if it's not, it'll fizzle out. Don't worry about it. Guy actually had some brains here. But we look here, verse 5. People fell dead. Let me just talk about the power of Jesus really quick. We wrap things up. You don't think that the power of Christ is still around anymore? You don't think that back in those days, you don't think that things are still happening? Let's read of the people who walked in the power of Jesus. Verse 5, people fell dead from disobeying. Verse 12, miraculous signs and wonders were manifest in public. Verse 14, people were joined to the church and were born again. Yeah, that's probably why Gamaliel said, we should probably just pump the brakes here, guys, and let's kind of rent this ride, because if it's of God, we're going to be fighting against God. Verse 15, people were healed because of Peter's shadow. Verse 16, evil spirits obeyed them because of the power of Christ. Verse 17, the religious leaders were jealous and driven to rage. Verse 19, an angel opened up prison doors at the midnight hour. Why? Because of this man, Jesus. This is the power of the cross. The amazing thing is what happened. We celebrate what happened at the cross, but the amazing thing is the power and what we enjoy right now. You know, people think that religion, that the religion of Christianity, philosophy is boring. It is boring, but the power of the cross is exciting. Acts 5:38 and 39, New Living Translation, as we wrap things up here. So my advice is, leave these men alone. Let them go. If they are planning and doing these things merely on their own, it will soon be overthrown. But if it is from God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You may even find yourselves fighting against God. How many people are fighting against God today? I've fought against God before. Don't want to do that. Don't want to do that. Don't want to do that. No, thank you. Pass. Pass. Like a card game. Pass. He knew that if God was behind this, then it would last. But there would be something about Jesus. There is something about Jesus this morning. The thing we want to get to is Revelation 1:17 and 18. New Living Translation. When I saw him, John is talking about, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I'm the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever now and ever. And I hold the keys to death and the grave. Guys, without Jesus' sacrifice, we're stuck in the grave. Without his sacrifice, his body broken, his blood shed, we are stuck. The old patriarchs, you know, they're in Abraham's bosom. What happened with the Old Testament saints? They would die, they would go to a place called Abraham's bosom, paradise, other names for it. And they were stuck there. They couldn't go into the throne room. They couldn't do anything. They were just stuck there. Just waiting. We couldn't go to the throne room of God. There's no way we could do that until Jesus came. And he blew a hole in hell. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. Now we're not stuck in this limbo. Now we're not stuck, destined to go to hell in a lake of fire. Because that wasn't designed for mankind. That was designed for demon, Satan, and the demons. God never had intended for mankind to go there, but since they joined up with the devil and Adam followed, we were destined for there, but we don't have to be anymore. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning. We praise you. We thank you for your sacrifice, God. We can never repay you for what you've done for us, Lord. Father, I look at you this morning, and I look at you, Jesus, and I know and I understand what my life is like without you, Lord. I'm not talking about a religious come to church, check in, check out. I'm talking about a real, breathing God. Jesus coming, living in me. 1 Corinthians 5:17. All things pass away, behold, all things become new. But his life comes in us, and it says we're a new creature in Christ Jesus this morning. You know, it's not just saying a prayer. It's just not doing things. It's a commitment to Jesus this morning. It's a new life. It's laying down what you want to do and picking up what he wants to do. You know what? Whatever he has for you in life, walking with him is so much better. You're not missing out on anything. You're gaining so much more with him. This morning, if you need prayer for anything, if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that joy, anything, we want to pray with you this morning. We do serve an amazing God. We celebrate Jesus this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord.